some of the things that Jesus were for. Jesus was for. Jesus was for love. He was for compassion. When he saw the crippled man, he had compassion on him. Jesus is for healing, the celebration of a new way to live. But also within this healing and what Jesus is for, we see a group of Jews. And what we see when we read the story with them in mind is what they were against. These Jews were against, it's just an incredible story when you think about it. These Jews were against carrying a mat on the Sabbath. That's you read the story and that's what comes out. Jesus, all these things that Jesus is for, but these Jews, they were against. And God just began to work that in my heart. And so I'm giving you an assignment this morning. I'll probably give you a couple assignments this morning. But as you came in this morning, you may have saw a little card that said four. And here's how the Lord worked this message. I'm wondering, when you, whether it's your very first Sunday here, or you have been attending a year or two, or 10 years, or whatever, when you consider your ministry, and that's what the New Lothrop Church of the Nazarene is, an expression of your heart and ministry. What do you see that the church is for? And what I'd like you to do is, the message, if it gets a little long or a little boring or whatever, maybe you want to just turn your attention to this thing. But on the back, maybe you're just going to write a word. Maybe you're going to write a statement or two. When you think about the ministry of the New Lothrop Church of the Nazarene, what do you see as the church is for? You know, a lot of times churches are looked at as what they're against. But in John chapter 5, we see that Jesus was for, but this group of certain Jews who ended up being the one that crucified Jesus, they were known for what they were against. So if something comes to mind, just write on there what your church is known for. And then back in the Dollar Giving Club box back there, you just slip that in that box, or leave it on your seat or whatever, and we'll get it after the service. But that's how the Lord took John chapter 5 and worked in my heart and my life this week. We're moving on into our series, The Greatest Story Ever Told. We're moving on to John chapter 6. And in John chapter 6, we find two miracles. And any study of Jesus, whether we're reading the Jesus story in the gospel story, or we read a story about Jesus in a book or something, we discover that Jesus was a man of miracles. He performed miracles. And by the time we get to this miracle that we see of feeding the 5,000, we've already discovered that Jesus, a miracle worker, he changed water into wine. He changed the heart of a Samaritan woman. What a great story that was. And not only did he change the heart of the Samaritan woman, he changed the life of the Samaritan woman. And through the testimony of this one gal, changed the spiritual temperature of an entire region. Last week, we talked about a man healed after being crippled for 38 years. We just know that Jesus is a man of miracles. What we see in the first miracle story in John chapter 6 is the miracle of provision. And somebody said that there were 169 scriptures in the Bible about the miracle of provision. I don't know about those things, but there's, I just want to lift out one, and it's a promise of miracle provision. It's in the New Testament book of Philippians, and that is, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Now that is a promise. That is a promise. God will meet all of our needs according to his riches. Now, one of the great things about this church is we come into this room and we're at different stages in our trust and our faith and our walk with Jesus. And it's a beautiful thing. Some of us would read that scripture in Philippians and say, that's how I live. I live by faith, just believing absolutely that God is going to meet my need. And some of us would come into an encounter like this and we would think, man, that'd be a wonderful way to live, but I'm just not there yet. You know, I'm depending upon, my paychecks, and I'm depending upon my education, and I'm depending upon my work ethic, and that's how my needs are met. And that's the beautiful thing about the gathered church. Some of us come with little expectation and faith, and some come with a lot of expectation and faith. But the question I want to ask about this verse is it true? Is it really true that God will meet all of my needs, all of your needs, according to his glorious... That's a wonderful promise. I mean, if that's true and we believe it, we can take a deep breath and enjoy life. But the question is it true? John chapter 6, verses 1 through 14 is an incredible story about provision. And one of the things by the end of it, we're going to see four different people's perspective that's included in the story, in the idea of miracle provision. And probably we can find ourselves someplace in this story. Whether this is the first time you've ever heard this story or you have heard it a dozen times, let's enjoy it again this morning. Sometime after this, after Jesus healed the man crippled for 38 years, Jesus crossed to the far side shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the miraculous signs he had performed on the sick. You can just imagine, all of a sudden, Jesus is healing the sick, and Jesus is a popular figure at this time, and people just want to be part of a miraculous story, and they're following him. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, hey, Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the miraculous sign Jesus did, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. It's a miraculous story of provision that we see in this little boy's lunch. Great story. We see four different individual people are acknowledged in this passage of scripture, and it makes up the story and perspectives about the miracle of provision. Let's start with the person of Jesus. There's no question in the story that Jesus is the miracle worker. He is the one that multiplied the bread. He's multiplied the fish. He's the one that took the lunch, thanked God, acknowledged God as the great provider, thanked God, distributed. It was from Jesus' hands that the provision was met. Jesus is the provider in this story. Now, this next scripture is going to maybe be a little bit too much for some. It might be like a 401 level teaching of the Bible, and we're just trying to figure out what's true and what's real and what we can trust. But here's what the Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 8. Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Now, some of us, we're not there yet. We're still saying, no, it's my education, it's my work ethic, it's my overtime. That's how I produce wealth. And that's wonderful. We're glad you're here, and that's certainly a piece of the puzzle. But in Deuteronomy chapter 8, it says that we have a higher level of provider, that it's the Lord your God who gives us the ability to produce wealth. In other words, He is the provider. That's what we see in the story that we read this morning from John chapter 6, that Jesus is the provider. He is the miracle provider in this story. Okay, that's person number one. The second person that we see and we want to talk about this morning is the person Philip. We've been introduced to Philip earlier in the Gospel of John. His attention was captured by Jesus. We learn and read that he became a follower of Jesus. He's the one that went out and told Nathanael all about Jesus, and Nathanael came and met Jesus himself. And so, you know, Philip, he's a good guy. He's a follower of Jesus. But he's not quite far enough along when it comes to the idea of financial peace. Okay, we can see in Philip a follower of Jesus, but he doesn't have inward peace when it comes to this idea of resources and provision and finances. Listen to the Philip situation here. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" Jesus asked this only to test him, for he already knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "Oh boy, Jesus, 8 months' wages wouldn't be enough. Eight months' wages wouldn't be enough to give each person a bite. Not even a bite." I don't want to be too critical on Philip here, okay? I don't want to be too hard on him. He's a follower of Jesus. But Philip gives us an insight into a poverty mentality, a scarcity spirit. In you know, sitting here and reading the story, we would just say, well, you know, if Jesus wants to feed the 5,000, he's going to feed the 5,000. You know, we don't have to worry about it. If Jesus says he's going to feed 5,000 people, we'll let Jesus provide for that, you know. But in reality, in real life, it's not quite that way, is it? We can read promises in the scripture that Jesus will meet all of our needs, like we read, that he cares about the birds of the air and he provides for them, and that's the reality of the scripture. But in the reality of the Monday through Saturday life, it's not always that spiritually easy, is it? But in this story, you know, we could just say, Philip, now look at, if Jesus wants to feed the 5,000 men and women, plus the women and children, Jesus is going to feed the 5,000 men plus women and children. That's just the way it's going to be, because he's the great provider. But here's Philip, and again, I don't want to be too critical of him, because he's a follower of Jesus, but he does have a poverty mindset. When it comes to provisions, he's a worrier. Okay, he's a worrier. where can we buy enough food for the people to eat? He's not only a worrier, but he's a doubter. He said, well, you know, Jesus, 8 months' wages wouldn't even be enough to feed. He's got this scarcity spirit on the inside. Now some of us, if we, and you know, we can be real in rooms like this, okay? If we can't be real in rooms like this, you know, we got problems. Some of us might have walked into this room with a Philip likeness. And you know, we don't like it in Philip, but you know, we try to couch it in say, well, you know, I'm logical. You know, it's common sense. It's you know, that's how we express it. But notice verse 6 again. Jesus asked Philip this, only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. That verse right there would be enough to give someone spiritual freedom this morning. Jesus already has in mind what he's going to do. And some of us, because we live in real life and, you know, society, society puts all these pressures on us, and some of us have bought into society's sale pitches and all the rest, and we found ourselves, you know, kind of all tied up in knots over the financial resources of our life, the abundance of it or the lack of it or whatever. And really, the truth of the matter is, if we're not there, probably there was a time in our life at one time we were there at one time. But notice Jesus' words here. Jesus asked Philip because it was a test. Jesus is using God's language in the Old Testament. When God said in Malachi, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty. This idea of provision, this idea of financial resources, eventually it becomes somewhat of a test. We could call it the provision test. And during this testing, the poverty mindset says, I don't have enough, I'll never have enough, and that spirit is crippling and discouraging. It's defeating. And I think the enemy of our heart and the enemy of our life and the enemy of our joy and the enemy of our contentment, he can pick on this area of our life. And when we would just wring our hands and in worry and doubt and saying, well, you know, it's just not going to work. I just worry about all these things. And it's a characteristic of the poverty mindset. Not only is it a characteristic of the poverty mindset, but it is a heavenly hint that we've lost sight of the provider. If you are all wrapped up on the inside, if you're all torn up on the inside about provisions and financial resources, I'd like to just encourage you and reintroduce you this morning to the great provider. Because this poverty mindset, Philip, in this story in John chapter 6, he lost sight that God was the provider. Jesus was the provider. Here's something else that the poverty mindset, it just never arrives at. It never arrives at. 1 Timothy 6, God provides us with everything for our enjoyment. God provides us everything. Not only does he provide for every need, but he provides for our enjoyment. Here's a secret insight into the poverty mindset. We never get to the place where we enjoy what we have. I had a conversation with a gal between services, and she was telling me her story that at one time, not many months ago, that is where she lived. She even knew things that she would get. She could never get to enjoying them. And that's not God's will. God wants us to enjoy our stuff. Here's another one from Ecclesiastes. When God gives any man wealth and possessions and enables him to enjoy them, to accept his lot and be happy in his work, this is a gift of God. If you are all torn up on the inside over the abundance of resources or the lack of resources, can I just encourage you this morning? Well, I guess I'm not even asking permission. I'm going to do it anyway. Refocus on the provider. God is the one who provides. So that's we've seen Jesus. We've been reminded that he's the great provider. We've looked at Philip. He's reminded us of the danger of a poverty mindset. Next up in the story is Andrew. And Andrew is different than Philip. Philip, he kind of wrung his hands and made excuses and you know, because he had a poverty mindset. Well, you know, this is impossible. What Andrew does is Andrew just, he's into solutions. Andrew's into possibilities. Andrew was close enough in relationship with Jesus at this point that if Jesus said he wanted to feed the 5,000, the 5,000 men were going to be fed. He just had that kind of faith. If Jesus says, you know, go into all the world and preach the gospel and you know, make disciples, if Jesus gives that commission, which he does to the church, I'm telling you, God has the provisions to make it. He already has in mind how he's going to provide to make that happen. And so instead of worrying like Philip, what Andrew did was Andrew went to work. Rather than invest all of his energies to try to convince Jesus that something couldn't be done, Andrew left that conversation and he began to go out and look for possibilities. He began to look for solutions. He went to work. And while Andrew was out looking for solutions, and while Andrew was out working to be part of Jesus' great story, he bumped up to a boy, and a boy, he had a little fish and chip dinner, and you know, God doesn't need much, he just needs a little. You know, the Bible talks about a mustard seed. This was kind of a mustard seed. When you consider 5,000 hungry men, plus women and children, and you've got a little fish and chip dinner over here, I mean, you're talking about a mustard seed. That little dinner outside of the providing hands of Jesus wouldn't have went hardly anywhere. I don't know, would Andrew have been embarrassed? You know, but he introduced this boy with a little bit of lunch to Jesus. Andrew didn't know how far it would go. I mean, you know, he saw the 5,000 men, the big crowd too, and saw the little bag of lunch, but he brought to Jesus, the miracle-working provider, what he had. So we see Jesus, we're reminded that he's the miracle worker, he's the provider. We see Philip, you know, he's got a little spiritual stretching to go. He's got a poverty mindset. We see Andrew, who chose not to worry but go to work. And then there is a boy. And this is just one of my favorite stories. You know, sometimes God just needs a boy. You know what I mean? Sometimes God just needs a little girl. If you have children in your house, you know sometimes that they will speak great faith into your heart, won't they? I mean, sometimes God just needs a boy. Sometimes God just needs a girl who will trust him. And that's what we find in this story. This boy, he's kind of like the drummer boy in the Christmas drummer boy song, you know? I brought my best. I gave my best to him. Ba-rum-ba-bum-bum. You know, that's who this boy reminds me of. I don't know what you see in him, but here's four things that I see in this young boy. It'll just get your thoughts to thinking. Because the boy was prepared, Jesus used him in a big way. I don't know if he's at like most boys, you know, he probably didn't pack his own lunch that day. But, you know, there was, I don't know how you see this story. I like to use my imagination. But I kind of see this boy as kind of active. And I see this day as a really nice day. And I see a worn out mom saying, "Son, would you just go out and play for a little bit? In fact, it's a beautiful day. I'm going to give you a lunch. Don't come back until it starts turning dark." You know what I mean? I mean, I just need a break, you know. I just want to brush my teeth, you know. Just go. That's kind of how I see the story. However he got prepared, he was prepared. And because he was prepared, Jesus could use him in a big way. Second thing I see in this boy, because he refused the poverty mindset, Jesus could use him in a big way. This boy could have said, see all those 5,000 men over there? They didn't bring a lunch. They got crying boys and girls. You know, they're a hungry bunch. He could have had a poverty mindset and said, "Man, this is my lunch. This is my fish and chip dinner. This is my thing." But because this boy, somehow, he refused to live life with a poverty mindset, Jesus could use him in a big way. Here's the third thing I see. Because the boy was generous, Jesus could perform a miracle. There is power in generosity. You know, you've heard me say probably several times that in the world, in the hands of the devil, when we give something, it's gone. It's just given, it's gone. It's totally different in God's economy. When we sow a seed with God, it's not gone, it just grows. This little boy, he decided to play his life generous. And so he gave his little lunch to Jesus. And what a wonderful picture of every time we sow even a mustard seed with God. All of a sudden, that little lunch began to grow and multiply, and in the hands of the great provider, met the needs of 500 men who didn't pack a lunch that day, plus women and children. With God, it's always give and it grows. And the ripple effects, just think about it. Just think, this is a real story. This boy just had a little lunch, you know, all crumpled up. But he gave it to Jesus. And we're enjoying it 2,000 years later. You talk about giving and it grows. This story, this little boy's generosity, it's growing our heart. It's growing a generosity in our heart. Some of us in this room this morning are saying, "I never looked at my stuff that way. I never thought of God being the great provider." If we could get the idea that God is the great provider, do you know how much stress that could take off of our shoulders? Now let's not miss it. We're not talking magic. Andrew went to work. You know, there's miracles in work. There's great things that come out of work. But this little boy, because he was generous, he got written into a miracle story. Here's the fourth thing I see about the boy. Because the boy was generous, people were introduced to the miracle working Jesus. You know, Andrew brought up a great point in giving. When we put an envelope in a plate, or we stop at the kiosk, or we do our giving through the week through online giving, we're sowing seeds that other that so other people can get to know the miracle-working Jesus. Hardly a week goes by around here that I don't hear of a spiritual story that God is doing something good, something new in one of our hearts and through our lives. Do you know there was a seed planted for that? And this little boy, because he was generous, other people were introduced to the miracle-working Jesus. You know, there's power in the Word. I want to invite James. We're getting ready to make some application, and I trust the Holy Spirit will do something in your life through the Word of the Lord this morning. How he's going to work, I don't know. But let's invite James into the conversation. James writes this in James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the Word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says or does not take action is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Okay? The Bible is something of a mirror. Let's use John chapter 6 as a mirror. And we look intently into that law. We talked about four different people in the John 6 story. Where do you find yourself this morning? Jesus, he's the great provider. Can you look into that word, into the reflection, into the mirror of the word and say, you know something? That's where I'm living. You know, I believe that. I'm in such a good relationship with the Lord and I'm growing spiritually. I trust him to provide. Or when we look into that mirror, we see a reflection. Is there like a Philip likeness where you're all tied up in knots on the inside? And you know, if that's where God finds us, that's great. It's not where he wants to leave us, but you know, it's good to look in that mirror and we're all tied. And you know, the only way, you know, is going to, you know, whatever, you know, if it's going to happen, it's going to depend on me type of thing. I got to provide. Or when you look into the reflection from John chapter 6, do you see an Andrew where you don't have to live all tied up in knots, but you want to be a part of Jesus' story. So you go out and begin to look for solutions, begin to look for possibilities, begin to go to work. One of the things that came out in the conversation between services this morning is the gal that I was talking to, she said, you know, there was just a season, and I knew it was going to be a season, but the piece of the puzzle that was missing there was just had to find a way to bump up income a little bit. Finding solutions. That was Andrew. You know, he wanted to be written into the God story, so he went to work. When you look in the reflection of the John 6 story, do you see a heart like this boy? I mean, he just trusts God. It's like, Jesus, I surrender all, you know. I'm giving you what I've got, and I sure hope when you go out passing those fish and bread that, you know, you don't forget me, you know, I'm here too, I'm hungry too. But you see that reflection of that heart of that boy just saying, Jesus, I just trust you. Not only do I trust you as my provider, but I trust you with my life to write me into a miracle story. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word today. We can find ourselves someplace in here. Lord, I pray that we would, because of the word, because of the power of the word, and the word doesn't return void, that we would be able to spot ourselves someplace in this story. And Lord, when we look at it, maybe it's like, oh boy, you know, how did Paul know what I was living through this morning? And I'm all tied up on the inside, all tied up on the inside over the provisions. And you're saying, regain sight of the provider. Look up. Maybe we're where Andrew was, and we're going to work tomorrow, and we're looking for solutions and possibilities and areas maybe we've been a little extravagant, and we can you know, smooth that edge over, and you know, and we're just looking for solutions, and your Holy Spirit is speaking into our hearts this morning. We want to be like that boy. That boy is, man, we're attracted to his heart. Lord, maybe we just need to refix our eyes upon you and recognize you as the great provider in our life. Thank you, Lord, for seeing our need. You don't provide for us. You don't give us everything that we need. You don't provide resources and the things that you want us to enjoy to tie us up in knots and get us to worry and doubt and fear. You've got freedom in mind for us. So, Lord, as we look into the perfect word and we find ourselves in the story, tell us what's next. Lead us where you want us to be. Lord, we're learning. We don't have it perfected. But we want to learn to trust you more. Your perfect world, your perfect word to your people today. May it be a blessing in our lives, in Jesus' name.